God is so good. If you'd like to give online, just visit our website. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give a shout out for our two brothers here. Thank you. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. 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 I love the house of God. Turn to somebody and wave or say, I love the house of God. I can't think of another time where the house of God is so important. There is no other institution on the earth like the house of God. I want to talk to you this morning about the zeal of thine house. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, or consume me. Father, bless your word now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, a quote from Psalm 69, verse 9, about the zeal of the house of God. Now, I probably can count on my hand, with a few fingers missing, the number of times I've heard this preached as a text. For some people, it's hard to imagine the Jesus that blessed little children and healed the leper and the lame to go into the house of God with a whip. It's kind of hard to conjure on the screen of our imagination a Jesus like that. But Jesus did not go in there to hurt anyone. He did not go in there to be violent. He went in there because he loves the house of God. If you go back to the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling before the angel he wrestled with him, there was a ladder up to heaven. And he said, certainly this is the house of God. You see, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, still has zeal for his house. It hasn't gotten less. It's probably maybe increased, if that's possible. If you look at the seven letters to the churches, the houses of God, in Revelation, you find out that he is so personally involved with each one that he says, I know your works. I'm not afar off. I'm involved with you. It's not done out of because he does nothing to do or he wants to judge. He just has a zeal for his house. He had a zeal for the church at Ephesus and Philadelphia and Smyrna. All these churches he has a zeal for. And I want you to know he's got a zeal for the Rock Church of Petersburg. Give Jesus a shout. We're not here trying to navigate through man's ideas and build upon things that don't work. We are here because we have a Savior that gave his life for the house of God, for the church. It's interesting here because back then it wasn't church like we have. It was the temple he went into. Yet even in the temple, he declared it was his house. Interesting, isn't it? You know, Matthew says something else about this that I love. Matthew says, before I get to Matthew, let me just give you the definition of zeal. I love this. Zeal is defined as great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. Wow. Let me say that again. Great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. Look, folks, people are losing their enthusiasm. People are losing their energy for the house of God, but not this house. Our energy is going to get more. Our enthusiasm is going to get more. We're going to do what Jesus said with His help. Amen. We're not going to have a retirement home church. We're not going to have a Laodicean church, lukewarm. We're not going to have a church that's lost its first love. But we're going to allow the zeal of His house not only to consume Jesus, but to consume us. Because it's God who established the institution of His house. Give God a shout if that's you. Amen. Matthew 21:12, as I said, and Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. This is added that John didn't put in. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Interesting. He's in the temple again. And he says, it's my house. Number one, I don't want money changers in there. Money changers, get this, are people who haven't resolved their issues with money. The love of money is the root of all evil. He said, listen, you can't worship me if you still love money. You can't love me if you still have issues with money. It can't be a pure worship because it becomes idolatry. So he threw that out. Amen. How many believe that God's dealing with His own people about the love of money and things? Amen. Got quiet. Hallelujah. But then he says, my house is going to be a house of prayer, a house of communion with me, a house where people connect from earth to heaven, a place where, as Jacob wrestled, I communed, as Abraham communed, as David communed, as Paul communed, the house of God is a house of prayer. Amen. I just love these verses in the book of Haggai. Talks about the house of God. Haggai 1, verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came to the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your circled houses, and this house be waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, you have not enough. You drink, you're not filled with drink. You're clothed, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, says the Lord. Praise God. I love prophets. I love their right to the point. I love their not trying to be celebrity preachers. They get right to the word of the Lord. And everybody wants to be a prophet today. Well, in the Old Testament, if you prophesied something wrong, it wasn't from God, they stoned you. Amen. Everybody wants to prophesy. Well, I believe in prophecy. I believe in prophets today, but the word of the Lord is a greater prophecy than any prophecy anyone can get. It's a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. I love this about Haggai. He said, look, he said, all of you are remodeling your house and everything, but the house of God is not being built. I've never seen on television more programs about renovation on HGTV. Used to they had one and then they had another. Now there's about 20 different kinds of renovations. It's interesting, and I understand because people value their houses. Can you even think for a second if we could, take care of our house, but if the same amount of zeal was for the house of God, can you imagine where we'd be as the house of God? Can you imagine in America if the same zeal was for my house was translated to God's house? That's what Haggai was trying to say. He says, listen, you've got everything going right, but the problem is you're not really reaping back because what you're sowing, and God gives us houses and lands, the Bible says that, but people are only sowing to that, and that's only natural. I can't reap back spiritual things sowing into the natural. I can do my house, paint my house, do everything. I will not reap anything spiritually from that. So God says, you've got to sow into my house. Amen. He said, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Why up to the mountain? On the mountain where there's wind, cold, storms is where the cedars grow. He didn't say go to the valley and get the bamboo shoots. He says go to the mountain. In the mountain, up on that mountain, are trees that have been proven, trees that have been tried by famine, by all types of things. Interesting thing about cedars, two qualities. Number one, they are strong. And number two, they're some of the most beautiful trees on the earth. And when God looks down in his house and he sees people that have gone to the mountain, they could have left, but they stayed. They could have left God, but they stayed. They could have cursed God, like Job's wife said, but they stayed on that mountain. And now, because of that, the cedars push their roots deeper when they're in a storm. They push it deeper down when there's what? Disappointment, when there's hurt, when there's misunderstanding, because they're strong. They're not strong just because of themselves. Their root systems keep going down. And I want to tell you, year after year after year, you and I have been on that mountain. Amen. You didn't realize how much stronger you're getting. You didn't realize how much of the beauty of Christ is being reflected in you. He says, go to the mountain. Go there and cut that wood. Go there because that's what I want to use. God doesn't use me if I give him second place. God doesn't use me if I have idolatry in my life. God doesn't use me if I harbor unforgiveness. God's not, listen, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, period. I can't get there if I go down in the valley and say how bad are things. Go down in the valley and just produce a little bit. God says, stay on the mountain, son. Stay on this mountain, daughter. And even though the storms come, you might lose a few leaves, yet your roots are going down. And those that are planted in the house of the Lord, what? They shall flourish. Get ready to flourish. Get ready to flourish. You've stayed on the mountain. Now it's time to flourish, church. Give God a praise, somebody here. Go to the mountain, bring wood. Go, it means to move on a course of action. Amen. Listen, when you and I cross over Jordan, we can have the best marriage party. We can relax, and until then, we got to go. Bring, take something with you. How many want to take something to heaven? Just, how many want to bring something to heaven? How many want to bring some souls to heaven, some sheaves? Build, it means to form or construct. Glory to God. Let's start with the word go. I may say go. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. What is our disposition when we wake up Sunday or Wednesday to go to the house of God? What is it? Well, is it a go disposition? Well, I have to fit it in. Or one of the preacher, one of them's going to have a joke, another joke. Or it's going to be too hot. Or whatever. David said, I was glad. Why did he say that? David knew his secret, even some believers don't know today. David knew that God would not leave himself without witness on the earth. That God would find somebody to represent him. That God would never allow the earth to function without his kingdom. And David was like, my goodness, I get to be part of that. Imperfect as the church is, imperfect as the person sitting next to you is, yet God has established the only institution that he's part of, and that is the church. Everything else is
is part of it. Go, everybody say go. Then he said, bring. Bring. Everybody say bring. You know what I'm? You know what I believe that is? Those cedars are the best trees in the world, the most expensive. People want it. I believe he's talking about bring your best. God wants my best. I'm not gonna have given the devil my best and then come to God and give him less than best. I'm not going to give my best to my career or my car or my home and not give God my best. That's how Jesus was. He came in with a whip, not to hurt, but to make a point. You're not going to defame the house of God. You're not going to belittle the house of God. You're not going to be so familiar that you can do your little things in the house of God. He said, listen, get out because I'm moving in. And when a congregation gets to the place, we want everything out that's not God. Jesus will come in with signs and wonders and everything. Give him a shout if you believe that. He's looking for houses of God. He's searching for hearts. That we won't make church traditional or get so familiar with people or everything else that we lose our best for the house of God. Four things. God wants your best and mine in his house. My best attitude. What is my best attitude? Love is the best attitude. Not performance, not even anointing. My best attitude is the unconditional love of God for every man, every woman. And until I can bring that to the house of God, I've not brought him my best. There's no reason on Sunday morning there should be segregation. There's no reason on Sunday morning people won't fellowship with certain people. That's not the best. That's not the love of God. And Jesus is not going to come into that congregation and move with that in the midst. I come with my best attitude. I don't come judging. I don't come criticizing. I come with love. Because, see, I don't know about you, because I need mercy. So blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. And if I give out judgment, I won't have mercy when I miss it. Oh, you don't want to hear me this morning. I feel like preaching, but I don't know if you're with me. Blessed are the merciful. Second thing, best, your best servant attitude. That has to do with humility. God calls no one to his house to be a spectator. God calls no one in his house to be a connoisseur or an observer. A servant. There's so many places to serve. What is our attitude? Jesus said, there's no serving going on in this temple. There's no humility, and he cast him out. Third thing, your best sacrifice. David said, I won't give the Lord anything. It doesn't cost me something. Every once in a while, we need to give God something that costs us something. And I'm not just talking about my service. I'm talking about how about an offering or generosity. Something that costs us. Well, I'm not going to buy this right now. I'm going to sacrifice to God. It's very easy for us to get into a pattern that doesn't cost us anything. And I watch my own self. Okay, Bill, when's the last time you gave a sacrifice? When's the last time you gave something away you did that you loved to someone else in need? My best sacrifice attitude, willingness. Third, my best commitment attitude, which is undivided loyalty. Amen. God can't build if people aren't committed to a church. God can't build if there's undivided loyalty. You know, 24% of the church does 80% of the work. You know, God can't build with half commitments. God never intended to be half committed to a local church. Are you kidding? That's not my best. Amen. God says, I want you committed. I want you submitted. I want you fruitful. I want to find a place for you. I want you to grow. I want you to do the thing. I want to promote you. I want to anoint you in the house of God. And see, the disciples kind of were freaked out in today's modern lingo. They've seen Jesus heal, and here he is going into the temple with a whip made out of leather. And all of a sudden, he wasn't smiling. His disposition, his face changed, but they didn't get it. But finally, they realized it's zeal. It's not against man. It's against the spirit of the world that's gotten into the church. I was raised in a formal church, and they did different languages and things and prayed to statues, and I thought God was boring, church is boring. I don't want nothing to do with it. And I didn't, and I ran from God. You know, we have to have such a congregation that people sense the zeal. And you know, let's just be honest. As we get older, sometimes we lose that zeal. And young people have that zeal, and we can keep that zeal. Doesn't matter our age. It matters our attitude. Hallelujah. Undivided loyalty. I look for people who are committed and loyal. I don't promote people that are half committed, half loyal. I won't do it. I've done it in the past, but I'll never do it again. I've learned God wants commitment. Not perfect. Ain't nobody perfect here. God says, in giving your best, your heart attitude of love, servant attitude of humility, your sacrificial attitude of willingness, and your commitment, undivided loyalty. Just think about where we are in 2020. Think about the amount of churches that are still not open. Think about how that pastors have tried. They have a budget. They have a building thing. Try to meet the needs of that. And many have gone back. And I understand. But at the same time, if there are things in place to keep us safe, we need to be in the house of God. There's no replacement for the house of God. There isn't any. And so God, Jesus, in this hour, is trying to stir up some congregations to keep pressing through. We might be on that mountain and the storm of virus hits, fear, whatever. I put my roots down further. I get up earlier in the middle of the night. I push away the TV. I'm putting my roots down because I haven't totally walked in everything I'm supposed to walk in. But I know that if Jesus came into the temple with a whip, we ought to take notice how he cares for his house. This isn't a social club. This isn't a cultural club. This is an institution God established. I will never criticize the church. I will never complain in the church. This is God's house. Let your words be few upon the earth, the Bible says. God is in heaven. As imperfect as it is, God is watching. Jesus is watching over the Rock Church of Petersburg as much as he looked over the church at Ephesus and Philadelphia. He's the same Jesus. He didn't do that and leave us out. He's looking over here. Bill, Debbie, here I want to lead you. I want to show you. I want you to do this to help the people, help bring the church to the fulfillment of the calling on this land. That's what's happening with the Rock. We are not another church on another block trying to keep the doors open. We're coming down from the mountain with our best attitude, our best service, our best anointing for the glory of God and the furtherance of the kingdom. Give them a shout, somebody. The zeal of thine house is consumed me, Jesus said. How is it people can go and have before a big game and there for 6 hours and then line and cooking and all that zeal, but the next day for church they don't even come. Come on. No wonder our nation, no wonder our world, because God wants to visit us and change that. Shut it all down, oh God, that your house might be full. He said, compel them to come in that my house may be full. And I'm believing for the Rock Church of Petersburg for glorious days. I'm prophesying 2021 will be glorious days. I'm prophesying that we're going to come down from that mountain with the best we've got, and God will do what he said over this house. God will fulfill what he said. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Shall he not do it, saith the Lord. Give him a shout, church. Your roots have gone down in 2020. You might have lost a few branches, a few leaves. Might have got cold. You might have had a lightning hit your tree. But God is faithful. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. The courts of our God. Your roots went down. You didn't even know it. You don't see how far roots go down. You can't see it, but God does. Now he's saying to us, what is the Lord saying to the church in this hour? Well, this is what he's saying to me through me, that this is going to be your greatest hour. That everything that's happened to you, even though it was meant for evil, God says now you're going to see it was meant for good. Because you're only a haircut and a shave away for having the authority that God wanted the church to have from eternity past. Give God a praise. Come with your best, give your best, love the best, serve the best. And you know what the enemy of best is? Good enough. Good enough always travels the highway of excuse. Good enough always travels the highway of excuses. God's not going to trust me with anything if I don't give him his best. God's not going to trust me. Good enough. Good enough. Where do you want to go, Rock Church of Petersburg? What do you want to do, 2021? I don't know. If you trust Debbie and I as your pastors, follow us. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow us. Because my heart is to take you to green pastures. And my heart is to take you to still water. My heart is to see you doing the will of God, that you can hear the seven greatest words you'll ever hear in eternity. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. One last scripture, Matthew chapter 16, very familiar scripture. Didn't know I was going to preach, but I just follow the anointing. Matthew 16, 18. And I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Gates of hell will not prevail against it. The only institution, there's no other institution given this promise. If you look around the world, our nation, institutions not built by God are in crisis. Whatever institution it is. He only promised the church the power to deal with hell. Hell has been unleashed, not only in our nation. Why? Because the devil knows he has a short time. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against princes, principalities that have been over our city for decades. Principalities that fed on hate and murder and degrading people, making them slaves. The hate, the prejudice, the spirit of murder that brother would murder brother. And these princes have been fat, fat with reaping their harvest for hell and have blinded the minds of those that God isn't important, church isn't important, and they're up there. They're even listening to me now. Can God find a people that can stand and say no more? You've been stripped of power, you Jezebel spirit over Petersburg. You've been stripped of power, you spirit of hate. Because Jesus defeated you. The only reason you're still on the premises is because the church hasn't risen up to say, get out. Get out. That's why prayer is so important. Significant in this hour. Until that gate clicks behind us in eternity, we have a race to run, a warfare to war, a celebration to celebrate. We have a maturity to obtain to, and we have a loyalty to walk in. God help us in this hour. God help His church. God help the pastors and the churches that are waning and discouraged. God help His congregations. Let Jesus not come in to whip out things, but to come in with His beautiful glory. That's what He wants. He doesn't want to ever deal with the seven churches, this, that. He says, listen, let's get all this behind us and let a glory come in. A glory that fills the house. As it was in the 70s, in the Jesus movement, there was a glory, my goodness. God loves His house. God loves His people. Jesus said, I'm not going to allow anything to mess up the house of God. I'll build my church in the gates of hell. Shall not prevail. You are so vital to this house. You are so important to this house. God never called the preacher to do it alone. We all need to be on one page, one accord. What is that? To fulfill the vision that God has for this house when He started it. You got to give God your best. Not perfect. If anyone has faults, I do. Anyone has cracks, I do. Weaknesses, I do. And so did Paul. But one thing I do, I check my heart and make sure nothing gets my best but Jesus Christ. I'll do excellent in other things. I want to give Him my best. How about you? Been on that mountain this year. Storms, lightnings, famines. But your roots went deeper. Your roots went deeper into His grace, into His forgiveness. You forgive five times quicker than you did last year at this time. Your mercy. You're a whole lot more merciful. You're a whole lot less judgmental than you were. Because I'm on that mountain. God's made you strong, and God has made you beautiful. Is there anything more beautiful than a fall day, the northeast, with the golden and red maples? Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. You know that's what people are seeking for. They're not seeking for anything else. They want to see the beauty of Jesus. Rock Church of Petersburg, we're in a crucial time, like all churches. But I happen to believe God put us together for such an hour and year as this. Are you ready to bring your wood? I'm not saying you haven't brought your best, but sometimes best can even be bester. One of those four areas might need some tweaking. This is the moment. This is the hour. We'll never have an hour like this again. There'll never be a moment like this. If you're watching by TV or Facebook, Jesus loves you. He hung on that cross for 6 hours. For you. Maybe you don't know Him, maybe you're away from Him, but
You can pray a simple prayer. Paul said in Romans, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're there, maybe you need to come back to the Lord, or maybe you're away from God. You never really met him. Just pray this from your heart. That's right. Just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, I ask, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time, or you're renewing your commitment to God, just let us know, rockchurchofpetersburg.org. We'd love to communicate with you. Amen. May you have a blessed day. Maybe the zeal of the Lord burn in your heart for his purpose in his house. In Jesus' name.